From UALR Public Radio and the Argenta Arts Foundation, this is Tales from the South, recorded in front of a live audience at Starving Artist Cafe in the Argenta Arts District of North Little Rock, Arkansas.
And how many of the audience can remember Coach Burnett? Well, I got elected, and at that time, Coach Burnett was the Public Works Director. He said, can I ask you a personal question? You know I work for you. And I said, yes, sir, I do. But I do not forget how I was brought up in the South.
Each week, it's an intimate dinner with everyday Southerners on our unrehearsed show, telling their story, as if they were sitting on the porch with you.
He said, well, Mayor, if that's what you want to do, just tell me. And I puffed out my chest a little bit, and I thought, well, this job's going to be fun then.
So sit back, relax, and reconnect with the power of a story. Now, let's go live to Tales from the South.
I can feel you now, like a man half proud, and I think I saw you in the street, and I'll drive this thing like you taught me how, like a rail yard man until we meet.
How's everybody doing tonight? So how about tonight's music by Bonnie Montgomery? Do y'all like Bonnie Montgomery? She has CDs for sale after the show, and more can be heard at BonnieMontgomeryMusic.com. All right, well, welcome to Starving Artist Cafe in the Argenta Arts District of North Little Rock, Arkansas, and to a special edition of Tales from the South, where Southerners bring their own true stories to life. Tales from the South is presented by the Argenta Arts Foundation and Temenos Publishing Company, and tonight's show is a benefit for the Argenta Community Development Corporation, all right here in North Little Rock, Arkansas. And I'm your host, Paula Morrell. On my left here, strumming his 1931 National Resonator, is blues guitarist Mark Simpson. Mark wrote our theme music and plays for us live each week. And how about our set back here? What do y'all think about our set? These genuine screen doors from the Arkansas Delta with mixed media portraiture are by esteemed Arkansas artist V.L. Cox, who's in the house tonight. From her Images of the American South collection, a portion of the proceeds from the sale of these works goes to Tales from the South. More can be seen at her website, greatfineart.com. All right, are y'all ready for some Southern style storytelling? On tonight's show, we bring you North Little Rock history through the eyes of two of its mayors, former Mayor Terry Hartwick and current Mayor Patrick Hayes. Later tonight, we'll hear stories from Mayor Hayes, but let's start the night with Terry Hartwick. Terry Hartwick is a lifelong resident of North Little Rock and a graduate of North Little Rock High School. He attended the University of Central Arkansas, served in the United States Air Force, and is a veteran of foreign wars. In 1984, Terry was elected mayor of the city of North Little Rock and served as mayor until 1989. In 2001, Terry became president and CEO of the North Little Rock Chamber of Commerce, where he is still currently serving in that position. Under Terry's leadership, the chamber succeeded in forming Arkansas's very first health insurance purchasing group, or HIPG, designated as the Chamber Alliance Program, to bring affordable health care coverage to small businesses who are members of the chamber. In addition, the chamber and city of North Little Rock campaigned to pass a 1 cent sales tax for 2 years to build in downtown North Little Rock Dickie Stevens Park, the minor league professional baseball stadium for the Arkansas Travelers. Terry is a member of the Lakewood Methodist Church and serves on numerous boards and committees throughout Central Arkansas. He is married to Gina Hartwick, and they have a son, Daryl. Ladies and gentlemen, Terry Hartwick.
Mayor Hayes said before we came in tonight, every year you served, you get a minute to talk. So I've got four, he's got 24, right? Thank y'all tonight. I've enjoyed being here, and I thank you for asking me to come. You know, we have Tales of the South, and one of the first tales I've got that I can tell you that is a true story. I was about 35, 36 years old when I got elected. So all of us guys from the South, we were brought up, Tracy will always remember, and a lot of us in the audience will remember to say, yes, sir, and no, sir. Well, when I was about 18, we had a dean of boys and the principal of our high school named Coach Burnett. And how many of the audience can remember Coach Burnett? I know a lot of us from North Rocky remember him. A big hulking man. When he would walk down the hallways, I promise you, you just kind of walk back to the lockers, take a step back, and he'd walk through and just kind of nod and say hello. Yes, sir. No, sir. Well, I got elected, and at that time, Coach Burnett was the public works director. And every morning, I was excited. Here I am. I'm elected mayor at that age, and, you know, you're full of and vinegar. And you want to get to the office on time. So I'd get there about 7:15. And when I'd get there, Coach Burnett would walk in, cup of coffee, and he'd start telling me, Mayor, yes, sir, we're going to do the ditches in this area today. We're going to do the streets in this area. We've got a problem over here. And every time he'd say something, I'd just reply, yes, sir, or no, sir. We went on doing this for really about a month. Every morning, he'd walk in and start telling me things about what we were going to do, where we were going to do it, and I'd always say, yes, sir, and no, sir. After about a month, Coach Burnett called me up and said, Mayor, I'd like to speak to you. I said, yes, sir, come on in. So he walked in the door, and he sat at the desk, and he looked at me and said, can I ask you a personal question? And I said, yes, sir. And he says, you know I work for you. And I said, yes, sir, I do. But I do not forget how I was brought up in the South. Paula told me we had a couple of minutes to tell some other stories. And I think one of the best stories that my father-in-law loved was I was in the Little Rock, and there was over there by the courts building. Mayor, you might remember this, but if you don't, this is a true story. All of a sudden, a heavy-set sheriff. Now, y'all get this in your mind if you don't mind. You can see him coming out, and he hollers, catch that man, catch that man. Some guy had broken loose from the sheriff's department at the courthouse was running down the streets in Little Rock. Well, I was pretty fast back in those days. So I took off in jacket, tie, and I tackled this guy in the middle of Main Street or downtown Little Rock. The people in the banks were looking out the building. We were wrestling in the bushes. I'm not kidding you. We're everywhere. And all I can remember right now is this young man was hollering, Mayor, let me go. Mayor, let me go. How'd he know me? I don't know, but he did. But we're wrestling in the ground. And I remember out of the corner of my eye, I'm holding him, and he's hitting, and we're tugging. And I remember seeing this large sheriff coming at us with the taser. And I'm going, oh, no. And we're wrestling around. We're rolling. But this guy pulls his taser out and hits this young man. And I start jumping, and I'm rolling because I thought I'd been tased, too. But we're rolling. This guy sits there and looks up at me and goes, I'll never vote for you again. I did see the guy about 3 years later. He had a campaign sign, vote Mayor Hayes. Please vote Mayor Hayes. That is not true. That part's not. One more story that I like to tell, and it's not as funny as much as it is true. I was in my office one day, and a young man came up, and the door was open. Becky, it's not like it is today. It was different. We only had two people there. Charlotte was there. But I remember a young man sticking his head in the office and said, are y'all hiring? And I went, no, we're not hiring anybody. Well, I kind of walked over the windows, Mayor, and was looking out over Main Street, and I've kind of lived with this for a long time now. The young man reached over and picked up a piece of paper and threw it in the trash. It just so happened, Lieutenant Don Gilbert was in my office right outside waiting to talk to me. And he's dead now, but I said, Don, go get that guy. Go get that guy. So Don runs out the office. Don Gilbert is the old-time, Lieutenant Don Gilbert is the old-time policeman. You know, he ran across the street, grabbed that guy, and handcuffed him. And I went, no, no, no. He brought him back up to me. No, 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 no. Please, 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 let him go. What gets me is I see my sons over here, Ryan but Daryl, and I told this guy, his name was George, and he even worked for you, Mayor, but I told George, you want a job, and you've got one. He said, well, Mayor, you said you didn't have a job for me. I said, I do now. I said, you did something that not a lot of people have done. You picked up the paper. He says, what do you mean? I said, well, I live by this thing. That is, if you pick up the paper and you do one more thing. I know everybody in the audience gets so tired. I know there's a lot of you here tonight because you've worked hard and you don't want to go. But you know, I bought the tickets and I want to hear Pat and Terry. But you do the extra. Where we come from around here, I think our mayors and our people like you have done the extra. You bend over and you pick up the paper every day. So I hired George. I made him a department head. He was my unit 51st, and I think he'd be alert for you. Make the long story short, what makes it important is he did something extra. He didn't have to pick up that paper. He didn't have to bend over and do something that no one else has done all day. So when I look at my family, I used to get so mad at Daryl that I couldn't see straight. So I'd look at him and I'd holler, Daryl, pick up the paper. To me, that means when you're so tired you can't do anything else that you think you can't do. When you think you've done everything, you've done your homework, you've called all your girlfriends or boyfriends, you think you can't do more, you can. That's what makes our Southern and this city of ours so great, is because each one of us is picking the paper up still today. So I live with this, and I tell a lot of kids nowadays, pick up the paper. And we have what we call leadership renaissance. And that's when we start talking to kids. They're in the sixth grade, and they come through, and they'll be in the 11th grade. They go to scholars. And the other day, I had a young man who had a scholarship, and I don't remember where, but I think it was Vanderbilt. But he walked up to me and whispered in his ear, and I didn't know who he was, but he whispered in my ear and said, Mayor, I'm still picking up the paper. That's a true story. We all continue to pick up the paper. The difference in our city is, we pick up the paper, we do the yesers and the nosers, and we do what's needed to do to make us what we are today. Paula, that's my stories, and they are all true.
Next, we have North Little Rock's current mayor, Patrick Hayes. Mayor Hayes is a native of North Little Rock and a 1965 graduate of North Little Rock High School. He is an attorney educated in political science and law at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. He practiced law in North Little Rock from 1973 until November 1988, when he was elected mayor. Mayor Hayes is currently serving his sixth four-year term. Mayor Hayes' legal career, in addition to private practice, including serving as assistant city attorney for the city of North Little Rock, assisting the Arkansas Secretary of State as chief legal counsel, elected to the 1979-80 Arkansas Constitutional Convention, and elected state representative for District 66, and served in the 76th Arkansas General Assembly. Mayor Hayes is a current member and past president twice of MetroPlan, the Regional Council of Local Governments for Central Arkansas, and past president of the Arkansas Municipal League. He serves on the board of directors of Little Rock Regional Chamber of Commerce, the North Little Rock Chamber of Commerce, and the Boys and Girls Clubs of Central Arkansas. Active for many years in the U.S. Conference of Mayors, Mayor Hayes was elected to the conference's advisory board in 1996. In 1999, he was elected as a trustee. As one of the 13 trustees, Mayor Hayes shares in the executive and policymaking responsibility for the conference. In June 2003, Mayor Hayes was appointed chairman of Amtrak's Mayor's Advisory Council. Additionally, Mayor Hayes serves on the National League of Cities Energy, Environmental, and Natural Resources Steering Committee as one of 39 members who recommend energy and environmental policy to the governing body of the National League of Cities. Mayor Hayes currently serves as president and chairman of the board of directors of ICLE USA Local Governments for Sustainability. He also serves on the management committee of the board. Mayor Hayes is a recognized leader in community economic development, neighborhood revitalization, community-oriented policy, historic preservation, and recreational development. Mayor Hayes is married to Linda, and they have a daughter, Josie, and three grandchildren, Savannah Lou, Isabella Joe, and Harper. Ladies and gentlemen, Mayor Patrick Hayes.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Let me start. Thanks, Terry, for giving me that 30 seconds extra. 8,545 days ago, I said, I will. Not to my wife of 30 years, Linda, but to this community and the job of the mayor of our city, North Little Rock. In looking at the next 209 days before we swear in a new CEO, It's hard to try to pick out 8 minutes worth of memories that will reflect on my time in office. January 1st, 1989 through December 31st, 2012 starts to approach almost a quarter of a century. Bill Clinton hadn't announced for president. Y2K was 11 years away. And my three grandchildren's mother, Josie, didn't even know that their father, Brent, existed. And that's when we got started. And now we have 8 minutes. Did any of you bring a sleeping bag? I wrote that down. This task is impossible, so I have decided to ignore it. And by executive order, I declare for this day that 1 minute equals 1 hour. Now, with 8 hours, I feel a little more up to the task. Paula, don't worry. If I got started and stayed around for 8 hours, we'd be talking to myself for over 7 of them, so I'm not going to do that. So instead of trying to squeeze in the stories about the flood of 90, Baptist Memorial becoming Baptist Spring Hill, electric streetcars returning to North Little Rock after leaving in the 1930s, the Arkansas Travelers moving from Little Rock to the north side, a senior center built and then built a second time, 3 pedestrian bridges in place across the Arkansas River, and a 4th in the dreaming stage. And that's not even traveling on our Arkansas River Trail or what's happened in Burns Park. So I will focus on just one story and one intro to that story. In 1989, after several months of settling in on the second floor of City Hall, I started to realize that this job had a lot of responsibility. With a combined city budget of well over $100 million and between 800 and 900 employees to give directions to, coasting would not be an option. We would have to do a little bit more than cut ribbons and turn shovels. But how and where to start? One of the afternoons during the first year, I was looking out over that Main Street that Terry was talking about on the second floor of the mayor's office, and it was during rush hour. And now most of us need to remember, some probably don't, that Main Street was one way back in those days in 1989 and had been since the 70s when the new Main Street Bridge had opened. And the only thing that would cause traffic to slow down when we were coming home, when the Little Rock traffic, or at least those of us, some who worked in Little Rock, were coming back, would be the stoplights on the 3 or 4 intersections that we had as the traffic would disappear on their way to Park Hill and Lakewood and Indian Hills and on to Sherwood and other parts north. When a post 6 o'clock p.m. came, we would once again be almost alone downtown. Joe Thomason's furniture delivery truck would be parked in front of his store, a little safer than in back, and my car seemed to be the sole occupiers of Main Street when the sun went down. Well, right then and there, I decided that one of the first steps we needed to take was to bring two-way traffic back to Main Street. Motherhood, apple pie, Main Street, and two-way traffic. Seemed like the thing to do. But could I do it? What set of complex steps would need to be taken? The next day, I asked our traffic service director, Tim Marvin, to come to my office. And as we looked out over Main Street on that second floor, I said, Tim, what do we need to do? What approvals do we need to have? What plans do we need to make? What studies have to be undertaken and documented? Highway department, state or federal laws, regulations, ordinances changed, equipment ordered, all that crossed my mind when Tim responded. He said, well, Mayor, if that's what you want to do, just tell me. And I puffed out my chest a little bit, and I thought, well, this job's going to be fun then. I think I'm going to like this job. And I guess it was then, probably for the first time, that I realized what a mayor could do to change or shape his or her city. Now let me jump to the fall of 1994, and I get a call from our somewhat new county judge, Buddy Valines. And Buddy said, He said, why don't you and Jim Daly, mayor of Little Rock, come on over and let's talk about Central Arkansas and Pulaski County and dream a little bit. Well, when we got there, we talked about a number of things, from a new war memorial stadium to a convention center to Barton Coliseum to an arena and the downtown development we wanted to see on both sides of the river. The year before, we had passed a 1 cent sales tax to build a new unified county jail for the bad people. And now it was time to do something for the good people. After a lot of talk, we, Buddy, Jim, and I, became known as the Three Amigos. Now, I don't know who started that, but, you know, we would do a little Mexican hat dance every once in a while to try to get people excited about what we wanted to do. So off we went after we decided for sure what we wanted to do, that an arena and a large convention center should be a priority, and that it needed to be a countywide effort. So off we went to gain allies. Joe Ford, the chairman of the Greater Little Rock Chamber of Commerce and CEO of Alltel, our own chamber, our downtown folks, Cliff Huffman in the Senate, James Dietz in the House, Governor Tucker, and on and on. In January of 1995, we went to the state capitol for a $20 million match, and we needed two separate votes in the House and 75 yeses in order to pass it, and we just made it, just barely. But Cliff, over on the Senate side, had already paved the way, and he did that without a whole lot of fuss and a whole lot of effort. Cliff knows how to get things done. It's just a little harder when you got 100 running around on the other side of the Capitol. I think we can talk. Tracy knows a little bit of both sides. With $20 million carrot out front, because we were successful, in support from every mayor in Pulaski County, $10 million promised from the private sector, on August 1st, 1995, we brought the River Project home with over 60% of the vote. Now we could build Central Arkansas's dream, which had been tried three times in Little Rock and once over here, all without success. A year and a half would pass before we'd find ourselves on the old Kroger Kmart parking lot with a bunch of muckety mucks in the spring of 1997 turning a shovel to start the construction of Alltel Arena. Let me now ask a trivia question. What was the first scheduled athletic event to be hosted by Alltel? A Riverblade hockey game? No. An exhibition game between the LA Lakers and the Washington Wizards? No. A ULR basketball team taking court? No. The first athletic event that graced the floor of Alltel was a basketball game of horse. Now I'll get to the answer to that in just a second. After most of the mucks, as in muckety, had left that Kroger parking lot when we turned that shovel several years earlier, almost all of the small souvenir basketballs had made their last shot at the go that had been set up for the ceremony. Lieutenant Governor Win Paul Rockefeller and yours truly were playing a game of horse with a small crew of neighborhood youngsters looking on. And neither of us could find the hoop. And the rain clouds were gathering, and I suggested to the governor that we should resume our game when Alltel was built. So a little over 2 years later, on October the 11th, 1999, the day before the Lakers were to take to the hardwood, Governor Rockefeller and I returned to our game of horse. Well, our skill hadn't improved, and so after the media recovered a number of missed shots, we shortened our game to pig. I never collected on that steak dinner I won that day, and we have since lost to Great Arkansan, but I'll always be able to claim that I now have a Rockefeller in my debt. The next day, October 12, 1999, a few more attendees, a sellout, were slated to watch UALR's own Derek Fisher bring his teammates, the LA Lakers, to really celebrate the grand opening. After a long day of preparation, I was resting at home watching people starting to stream to our arena when around 5:30 the phone rings. It was Alltel's general manager, Michael Marion. "Mayor," Michael started, are you sitting down? Well, a little worried, I responded, Michael, that I was actually laying down for a minute or two. And he said, "Well, Mayor, you know, we've decided to cancel the game." I said, "Michael, it's not April 1st. It's October the 12th. And please don't fool me," which I really thought he was trying to do, hoping maybe, but he wasn't. And as we all know, it was 2 weeks later with round-of-the-clock work on Raker beams that we all started the ceremony of the opening with the ice hockey team. And if I look around a little bit, I'll have to ad lib just a second or two. I had a chance to escort Linda and Josie and Brent, her husband then to be, up to the top of the second level on top of that original Raker beam. And that's what mayors, you know, needed to do. You needed to sit right up there and show folks it was all right. Well, Linda and Josie and Brent, I can't speak for them, but we survived, and it certainly was an interesting evening. The next night would find a sellout crowd gathering to watch Elton John perform. And I had never before seen what a CO, or certificate of occupancy, was. And when I showed what we were using, knowing that it was likely to be shown to every media outlet in Arkansas who would want to see that certificate of occupancy, I took an extra day And then the mayor, sitting down at his desk, redesigned our certificate of occupancy, and I put the city seal and a ribbon and made it look awful pretty. It took an extra day and a half that I did that I really didn't know what the potential consequences were until I talked to Michael Marion yesterday. And Michael told me that the manager for Elton John had been talking to him wanting a copy of that certificate of occupancy and had threatened to cancel the concert unless he had it in his hand, and that Michael, for almost 24 hours, had been waiting at the fax machine to receive my newly decorated, ribbonized, and imprinted certificate of occupancy. Now, that would have been a fun story. Well, we've gone from Judge Verlaine's conference room to the Arkansas legislature to an election to a game of horse, pig, raker beams, cantilevers, and now Sir Elton was stopping by North Little Rock to leave a few memories. And that was just the beginning. From professional basketball and arena football to the first round of March Madness, the first date I had with my wife, we traveled to the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas to watch the Rolling Stones. And then 25 years later, Mick and his crew came to North Little Rock to help us celebrate our silver anniversary. And now, only a couple of months ago, my old college fraternity brother, Mike Utley, visited Alltel, which is now Verizon Arena, and played his keyboards for the lead singer in Margaritaville North. Now, while I didn't hear it being sung, other fans did, and my Sigma Chi brother later confirmed that Mayor Pat made the lyrics of Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville. Now, all else pales in comparison. I have arrived. And as I look for my next job, I'm trying to figure out, and with a little help from perhaps those here in the audience, I'll be able to do it, how I can get that small fact in my resume that it will be before any future potential employer. So thank you very much, and God bless the city of North Little Rock. God bless the Argenta CDC. It's been a wild ride. Thank you.
So how about our stories and storytellers tonight? Thank you, Terry Hartwick and Mayor Hayes. Thank you to our live audience, and thank you to UALR Public Radio. Tonight's show benefits the Argenta Community Development Corporation and is sponsored by Centennial Bank, Walker Law Firm, Hilburn Law Firm, Colson Oil and Superstock, Don Chambers Landscape Architect Incorporated, and the Argenta Downtown Council. You can download and listen to our podcast on our website. More can be found at talesfromthesouth.com. Have a great night, and we'll see you next week at Starving Artist Cafe in the Argenta Arts District of North Little Rock, Arkansas, for another edition of Tales from the South. Good night, everybody.
Tales from the South is presented by the Argenta Arts Foundation in North Little Rock, Arkansas. Discover more at argentaartsdistrict.org. Our official media sponsor is AY Magazine, Arkansas's leading lifestyle magazine at aymag.com. Additional support provided by the Winthrop Rockefeller Institute at livethelegacy.org. Also, the North Little Rock Visitors Bureau and Oxford American Magazine, the Southern Magazine of Good Writing at oxfordamerican.com. Writer accommodations provided by Robin Wood Bed and Breakfast. Studio time by Infrared Studio Productions. Graphics by Robin Steves at Studio B. Our executive producer and host is Paula Morrell. Our production engineer is Jay Jones. Thanks for helping keep the art of Southern style storytelling alive, and we'll see you next week, either on this station or at Starving Artist Cafe, for another edition of Tales from the South.